PM board bombs.
And we're just doing it live. Hey, what's up? I feel like podcasts are doing these like just cutting in randomly, and you start the conversation, right?
Yeah, you can tell when it's fake too. Hey, you're looking fresh today, by the way. If you're watching on YouTube, fans, you can see Dr. Hussein wearing a collared shirt for once in his life.
I know. My wife says I need to stop dressing like a bum.
You're just wearing dad mode.
You're like a physician.
Now.
Yeah, she's like, you are a physician. You're supposed to be like a professor, and
but you also own a podcast.
Yeah, co-host,
co-founder.
Yeah, co-founder.
That's true.
Co-founder.
Sorry about that.
No worries. I just wanted to clarify for you. I wish I got that same clarification during SAEM 2 years ago when you had a billboard of yourself.
Sorry, I was busy.
Anyways, we digress. Hey, let's just get into the question.
Yeah.
We're going to just get into the question.
Hey, first we got to mention our sponsors.
No, we're going to do that later. We'll do that later. I want to get into this question. I'm really excited about it.
Fans, please hang around. And our sponsor, please do not get upset. We promise we'll talk about you.
We will. Hey, a 42-year-old male is brought to the emergency department by ambulance after undergoing shoulder arthroscopy with a brachial plexus block at an ambulatory surgical center. That's a mouthful.
Yeah, that was a run-on. That was a run-on.
It's a lot. It's a lot. Like, I need a drink of water after that. Approximately 30 minutes post-procedure, while in the recovery area, he suddenly became confused and agitated, followed by the onset of a generalized tonic-clonic seizure. The seizure lasted for 2 minutes and resolved after a dose of lorazepam. He was rushed to your ED for further evaluation. The orthopedic surgeon calls you while the patient is en route. You assume this is going to be about what happened. Instead, he basically says that he wants to give some post-operative management for the patient. He didn't get a chance to talk to them, after the whole incident. Mm-hmm. He states that the patient requires activity restrictions, icing, and is going to tell you more. But then you cut him off and you ask to speak to the anesthesiologist who did the actual block. The outpatient procedure utilized ropivacaine for the nerve block. Mm-hmm. The orthopedic surgeon calls again. Because you hung up on him. And he asks this time to just, he wants some pictures of the incision site sent to his cell phone. Because, again, because of everything that happened, things didn't go the way they should. And he just wants to look at them. You hang up again.
It's because he's on a flight to the Bahamas, actually.
Right. He's got to get to the Bahamas. Yeah. The charter flight. There you go.
He's like, sorry, I can't access Cerner. I'm actually out of the country now.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't
know. It's my last case before.
My VPN doesn't work there. Sorry. And I actually don't know how to use the computer remote. But anyway,
I have my PA do all that for me.
All right. We digress. Upon arrival to the ED, the patient's postictal but hemodynamically stable with a blood pressure of 138 over 82. Hmm. Heart rate's 98 beats per minute. Respiratory rate is 18 breaths per minute. And the O2 sats are 99% on room air. Given this clinical presentation, what do you suspect? You should be thinking about this, everyone out there. What is this, Briggs?
Well, sometimes many think of this as a last resort.
Hint. And it is local anesthetic systemic toxicity.
The last.
So a lot of you out there were probably thinking, oh, that's going to be the answer choice. I got it. Nope. This is second level here.
Ooh.
What is the most appropriate initial management for this patient? Is it A, administer IV phenobarbital, B, start intravenous lipid emulsion therapy, C, give intravenous dexamethasone to reduce the inflammation postoperatively, or D, perform an urgent CT head to rule out intracranial pathology? What's the correct answer, Briggs?
I'm tempted to pick choice C about dexamethasone if I worked at an urgent care. But the correct answer here is choice B, start IV lipid emulsion therapy. Now, that is a fun word to say. It just rolls off the tongue. Lipid emulsion.
Sounds kind of gross, honestly.
Like lipid emulsion.
Something like fat.
Just emulse your patient's IVs and lipids.
Oh, hey, sponsors, EM News, thank you.
Yeah, sponsor.
EM sponsor, News. That's right.
Checking out our only sponsor.
Yeah, only
Emergency Medicine News, awesome publication. It's free if you're an emergency medicine clinician. Check it out. Yeah. We love them. They write great articles, not just because I write for them too. They're amazing. Great content. Check it out. They have a podcast page. We're featured on there too.
Right. And awesome stuff. we would appreciate other sponsors. Don't message us anymore. We're not joking when we say we don't take anyone else.
We literally have one, and that's all we need.
That's pretty much it. And lastly, what we do need and what we do love are our premium subscribers on
We have many. We have many.
Yeah, the emrapidbombs.supercast.com. But you can access it just going to emborderbombs.com. We now have a sign up page there.
Very easy.
You can access our podcast. You get high yield board knowledge content, just life pearls as well. We have anywhere from med students to interns to seasoned residents. And seasoned attendings. That
anything seasoned is better, let's be real, including an attending.
There you go. Extra salt, extra pepper. I got the salt and pepper here, as you can see on the YouTube video.
If you work in the community, you're extra salty, extra seasoned.
Extra
seasoned. We would like to say well done.
Well done. Some more well done than others.
Yes.
But anyways.
Keep the faith. #keepthefaith.
Keep the faith. EMBorderBombs.com. Check it out. We're more than 400 episodes in there. Anywhere from 3 to 7 minute long episodes where we go through high yield content. Great way to review. Hey, let's get into it. Last, as we're going to call it, remember, that's local anesthetic systemic toxicity. We're just going to refer to it as last here on out.
Right.
It has an incidence of roughly 1 per 1,000 nerve blocks. It is not incidental.
I like how you pause for effect. Yeah, this is one of those things, it's the last thing you have to worry about.
We're going to be laying it on thick here.
Laying it on thick.
Although it's the last thing that you have to maybe worry about, it is something that is important and maybe the first thing you should think of.
Could be the last thing your patient ever experiences.
This is like that diarrhea episode that we did.
That was one of our best episodes, though.
I feel like, at the end of the day, Marlena can push out shorts. Alexandria, too, is just going to be cutting this like in a hilarious way.
Yeah, she'll love it. Hey, so overall, nerve blocks are really safe. They're often safer than giving IV Dilaudid. I would say yes.
Yeah.
So at a large center, though, that where a lot of these are performed, last will occasionally occur. Now, does it occur within minutes of administration? Typically, yes. Typically, it's an iatrogenic, IV administration or arterial administration of that local anesthetic accidentally. And so usually within minutes.
To clarify, iatrogenic, just for those of us who don't like to say long words, accidentally, intravenously administered.
Yeah. Exactly. Thank you for clarifying, Dr. Hussain, co-founder, co-host of EM Board Bombs.
Thank you. Continue.
Yes, accidental IV administration or arterial administration, depending on how good you are at blocks or how bad. So this can occur within minutes of that administration. Now, it can be delayed, like this question stem, right? This question stem was purposely written by us in a way to almost distract from that injury, right? So we said, hey, he got the local anesthetic, he had his shoulder surgery done, and then afterward he developed pretty much this issue, right? The last. And that was over an hour, right? And so you're probably thinking, oh, that's more than an hour. Why would he even get this? But it definitely can happen due to gradual systemic absorption and followed by either a single administration or they leave, the catheter in, they're injecting multiple doses of this for a redose. This could occur several hours after administration. So don't just dismiss this and say, oh, it didn't happen initially. Oh, I drew back on the syringe. There was no blood. That means it's impossible. There's a deposit feature that, there's a depot of that medication there. It could gradually cause these symptoms if it reaches a certain threshold in the body, right? So what are the early symptoms here? I have two categories of this when I teach residents about this toxicity. When we do nerve blocks in our ED, I love quizzing residents on this when I can, or students.
So everyone out there listening in Tennessee, please pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention. If you're working a shift with me, I'm just kidding. Early symptoms are going to be really two classifications here, neurologic and cardio, which makes sense, right? I think, so think of lidocaine. That's what I think of. I think of lidocaine, I think what? Numbing effect, right? So that's neuro. And then what else we use lidocaine for? IV for anti-arrhythmogenic or whatever it is, post cardiac arrest, ACLS. Sure. So I think, boom, cardiac and nerve. That's it. And so those are the side effects of these agents. So the neural changes are going to be really nonspecific here, but the ones that you probably are going to, you know, if you were asking a resident or student on shift, they're going to say, oh yeah, isn't it like, you know, metallic taste, tinnitus, auditory changes? Yeah. Sure, that's great, but they're really nonspecific. They could have some numbness around their face, too.
Questions love the metallic taste.
They do.
Questions love that metallic taste.
And tinnitus. What other toxicity is associated with tinnitus, Dr. Hussain?
I mean, obviously, there's that big one, aspirin. So yes. Always have that in the back of your
head. Salicylic acid.
Sure. I just like to say aspirin. Old school.
ASA.
Color, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, that's okay. Anyway, you're sponsored by Bayer. We all know. You've been bought. And then visual disturbances like blurred vision or dizziness. And then they could have other nonspecific neural changes that you don't have to memorize because they're so nonspecific. Just like essentially mental status changes like delirium or dysarthria, whatever, anxiety tremors. However, if they're being sedated or they're coming off of sedation from surgery or a procedure, sedation could mask these initial features. So thankfully, I say thankfully because it is very obvious and dramatic when it happens, like this question stem, what could be the more common symptoms?
Yes. So the only way I think you're really going to be asked on this is going to be seizure.
Yeah.
You know, just straight up.
And honestly, for your sake and for the patient's sake, we hope this happens because it's so dramatic and it'll get your attention and you'll review the meds and like, okay, whoa, it's focusing my history that this is last. It's not just a random seizure. Okay. What about the cardiac symptoms? Why don't you get into that?
Yeah, sure. So initial cardiac symptoms, they're going to include this sympathomimetic activation. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's going to be tachycardia, hypertension, diaphoresis. It's followed by arrhythmias, so bradycardia and AV block, widening QRS complexes.
Right.
And just think they're going to have just reduced contractility. And what's that going to lead to? Hypotension. Mm-hmm. Expect any type of cardiac arrest to potentially occur, so ventricular tachycardia, VFib, PEA, or asystole. And lidocaine does, you know, tend to reduce contractility more. And then bupivacaine and ropivacaine, they tend to cause more arrhythmias.
Hey, okay, stop right there. You're doing great.
Mm.
But it's time to quiz some people. Let's think in real life here.
Yeah,
you have a patient, sudden change in vitals, neuro or cardiac symptoms after you or someone else just did a nerve block.
Sure.
What is obvious on your differential besides last?
Yeah, you know, it's poor form to be giving lipid therapy and then later you realize the patient just had a pneumo.
Right. So whoopsie. Just covering your bases. We're just covering our bases.
So, you know, pneumothorax, obviously.
It's like giving blood cultures in a trauma. Same thing. You're just covering your bases.
Just covering your bases. The patient's hypotensive. Yeah.
Just kidding. Don't do that, guys. Don't do that.
Yeah, please don't do that, guys. Please don't get, you know, the patient who's in hemorrhagic shock getting extra blood cultures.
Vank and Zosyn, just in case.
Just getting extra blood out of them.
Yeah, Zosyn.
So pneumothorax should be on your differential. Hemorrhage from local vascular injury. Mm-hmm. And then obviously think about other, you know, side effects from other medications that were given as well. Yeah.
Also poor form if they, you know, stop breathing, you're giving lipid therapy and you could have just given Narcan because you gave them Dilaudid.
Right, right. Again, bad when, you know, you're having detailed discussions about intralipid therapy with your pharmacist. And then later you figure this out. Hey, what's the threshold to intubate these patients?
Very low, very low.
Why is that?
That's a great question, Dr. Hussain. Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, I'm glad.
You have to assume that these patients are going to code if they haven't done so yet. Intubate early, especially if altered. This is one of those, you know, we talk about a lot in tox, rightly so, not intubating a lot of your tox patients because that takes away their drive and there's other issues that go on. You can see our prior episodes mainly on aspirin overdoses when you should not intubate. Like that's your last thing you should be thinking about doing. In this case, not so much. Any signs of any repeat seizures, any signs of hypoxia, intubate them immediately.
Yeah. So, all right, so you're talking about intubate early. What about, you know, now this patient's having arrhythmias? We didn't give that example here, but real life stuff,
right.
Patient's having arrhythmias.
Right.
I do think there's some obvious stuff maybe we don't give, which we typically would.
Maybe we shouldn't give lidocaine. I love that. Maybe we shouldn't give procainamide.
Maybe not. Yeah, so don't give lidocaine or procainamide, please.
Yeah.
No. All right.
You want to avoid beta blockers too. Anything that's going to lower the blood pressure, beta blockers, calcium channel blockers, anything that could exacerbate hypotension. So really your only option here, and it's not a good option, I don't like this drug at all.
Yeah, because its half-life is like months,
Yeah, it's like 52 days. I that's such a fun question to like
such a fun question.
Get a gasp out of people at work, like students or nurses, and you're like, guess what the half-life of amiodarone is, and people are like, what, it's like 2 days, 52 days.
52 days,
and they're like, what, oh my god,
even worse anyway. For some people.
Yeah, so amiodarone is the medication here. This is the frontline antiarrhythmic for ventricular arrhythmias in this case.
Got it.
In this case.
So we talked about seizures.
Right. You know, benzos.
Seizure. Yeah. Boom. So it's really just benzos.
Intubate. Benzos.
Intubate early. You know, propofol. What do you think?
Hypotension. Got to be careful.
So, you know, this is a good one for ketamine, you know, if you need to sedate. And then obviously you can consider things like Keppra as well.
Levetiracetam. Acetam. We're not sponsored by Keppra.
We're not. Hey, but the antidote to this.
We haven't gotten it yet.
And I know everyone's kind of like sitting on edge for this.
Right.
Really, the antidote to last is what?
Lipid emulsion therapy.
You're going to be just tested
rolls,
on this.
Rolls
you
off
gotta
your
know
tongue.
This. You got to know this. You really just need to know this. You will be asked. The way you're going to be asked first is going to be that presentation. Being able to identify it, you might even be, you know, asked, hey, what was the inciting event? And then identifying what the inciting event was. And then the other way you're going to be tested on this is going to be knowing the antidote. It's very easy.
It's interesting because lipid emulsion comes up in other drugs.
Yep.
So beta blockers, of course, it comes up in that discussion as like a last resort kind of thing, reaching for the top shelf. And then, interesting enough, another one that I saw the other day actually was a TCA overdose. One of my colleagues was discussing giving lipid emulsion as well due to the fact they were trying sodium bicarb for a long time and it wasn't getting the desired effect. And so at that point, we're also reaching for lipid emulsion. But
why
in
not?
This case, this is the only antidote this is first line. This is the antidote. There's nothing that you do before this. This is what you're reaching for immediately. Any type of local anesthetic toxicity.
Like you're giving them IV fluid bolus for that hypotension and the lipids are getting mixed up.
Right.
You know,
and,
so.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
And you don't need to know anything for lipids or anything, by the way. Just talk to your pharmacist and be like, hey, I'm going to need some lipids.
You never have to know the dose for this.
You're good. You're good.
Not at all.
Yeah, some of the side effects.
Non-specific.
Yeah, sure, we can talk about it. It's, yeah.
Sure, pancreatitis.
Allergic reactions, nausea, vomiting, thrombocytopenia, pancreatitis. Basically things that, let's just say they're not as big of a problem as what your patient's going through.
Yeah.
Yeah, get the amylase for the pancreatitis.
You would say you don't want this to be the last problem they could be going through.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Because, again, the first problem is bigger. Than last.
Oh my gosh. Oh, our poor fans. Hey, you got to check out Rapid Bombs, by the way. To those of you who are listening, I'm not talking to you, Dr. Hussain. I know you know about it already.
I don't know. Rapid Bombs is great. Yeah, check it out. Yeah. More than 75% of our. Mm-hmm. You know, it's crazy. We're like year three now, and like 70% of the people who signed up or continue to listen.
Yes.
So it's crazy to see like folks who basically started it as a way to just like board review. Keep listening, keep dropping episodes every week. Hope you guys like it. We've got a lot more content to
go.
We have some fun surprises. I like the videos that we do there for our subscribers, just our Rapid Bomb subscribers.
That's quite enjoyable.
We do have separate videos with hidden links for our Rapid Bomb subscribers. If you're a YouTuber and check out, I guess we have to ask people to subscribe to our YouTube, and we've got TikToks apparently. I've never signed up for TikTok, but apparently Alexandria is like crushing it on TikTok. She was like, people actually listen. Hey, can you do a Reddit story, by the way? Now that we're done, by the way, we're done with the episode.
Yes,
you can linger on if you want and hang out.
Stick around.
Briggs, can you find a random Reddit story? Because everyone loved your Reddit story that you read, remember?
Which one? The one on the Shigatera and Omroid?
Yeah, I love the Shigatera
one. So it's so funny because at my workplace, we were talking about it too.
Yeah.
That we actually went on Reddit and looked up some more treatment of Scombroid.
Yeah.
And one of the colleagues I worked with, I know we were talking about the fish stuff, and one of my colleagues said, I thought for sure you were talking about chronic Lyme. I was very disappointed you didn't cover that.
We're not going to talk about chronic Lyme.
Yeah.
That's off.
She's like, very disappointed. Shout out to Dr. Foley, by the way. She won't mind if I mention her name. So very much
appreciate
it, making me laugh.
We're not going to get into POTS and chronic Lyme and all the other stuff. Mm. So
I think we're missing out on a huge opportunity.
All right, how about this? Next time, let's find a good Reddit story to explain. Oh, yeah. Because I still watch your Reddit. I still watch your short, the YouTube short that Alexandra made on the Scrumoid. It's so stupid. Funny. It hits every time, Briggs. Every time. I just start laughing out loud. It's like a minute and a half. And the way that she edited it with the
music. It's fantastic. Yeah. In the
oh man,
we have too much fun with this.
Too much fun. All right,
let's, as I say, it works some days. Can you believe we get paid to do this every day?
This is crazy. Yeah, this is crazy. It is.
Usually the nurses roll their eyes when I say that, but
I know it's fun. We were texting about that the other day.
Hashtag blessed.
I know. I can't wait to see it. SAEM coming up. It's gonna be fun. Have a good time. Hey, we should do something for our subscribers. At SAEM, we might do like a hangout, maybe get together for coffee or something. Let's like do that. It. And come meet us up if you're interested in that. Certainly,
drop us an email or something.
Yeah, shoot us an email. Shoot us something on Twitter. It'll be fun. Marlena's going to be there too. It's going to be great. It's going to be pretty epic.
Awesome. So,
it's going to be a good time. All right. Thanks, Briggs.
I'll see you next time.
EM Board Bombs signing off.
Signing off.